Well, Shabbat Shalom again, and there it is. That has started, and let's start the video.
Is the camera in the right spot?
And that has started. Let me lower the volume.
Make sure the camera's in the right spot.
Okay, everything is going good right there. Well, Shabbat Shalom to everyone out there in cyberspace. Hope you could hear me well.
Turn your sound up.
We're one of Messiah congregation, that's Kahal Chabe Mashiach, part of the Israel of God around the world. And it's so nice to be here today on the Shabbat. Adat Yisrael and Shabbat Shalom. And I'm really happy to be here today. It's a beautiful day. Of course, we're in winter, and we love winter. I love all God's seasons. Let's ask God to bless this Sabbath, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Master of the universe, first we always come to you, ask you to cover us in your holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot. We thank and praise you today, Lord and God, for just knowing you and knowing your word. Bless this Sabbath, bless the reading of your word, bless the study. Teach us something new that we didn't know. Take away anything that's corrupt out of our minds, hearts, and souls. I pray you'll send out super healing upon everyone in the body of Messiah. Touch our sister Louise. I pray you'll touch my wife. Touch anyone that's sick and afflicted with these things that come upon us. But you're very aware of them, Father. And we believe you. Touch all of us. Heal us, strengthen us, be with us. We have so many things to do for you. Rejuvenate us. Give us youth. Give us strength like we were when we were younger. Bless and anoint this day, and bless everyone here, and put a wall of fire around and about us, caution us from any evil. Protect us, Lord and God, your angels, knowing that there's more that are on our side than on the other side, as Elisha says. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that you're with us. Heavenly Father, your Holy Spirit may be with us today in Yeshua's name, and we thank and praise you. Shabbat Shalom, everyone, and may God bless you. Well, we're still using Pope Gregory's calendar, even though it's January 2nd, 2016. It's amazing. You know, I was looking at a study this morning, one of my studies off my external hard drive, and it said 2006. Then I realized, whoa, 10 years passed. It's 2016. Oh, I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
And we're back into Janus's month, which is a pagan god. Janus is the Roman god of gates and doorways, depicted with two faces looking in opposite directions. And of course, that's where January comes from. Most people never heard of that. However, in our congregation, we bring it to focus God's calendar. We're still in the 10th month of God, the 21st day called Tevet. That's found in Esther chapter 2, verse 16. And for the people that don't know me, my ministry is a teaching ministry. As I have coined the phrase here, we are forensic spiritual detectives. We just want the evidence. We just want the truth. Mm-hmm. And we want anything that's incorrect out of our hearts, minds, and souls. We always pray. And I'd like to undelete some of these things for you, things that are incorrect. For your convenience, all my studies are going to be back on my website soon. You could read them, you could listen to them, you could watch them, you could even download them to your MP3 players, bring them with you if you desire. Of course, we're on Powtalk right now in the Christian section. We'll be streaming again in a different URL. I have it written on the website. I always want to be invited somewhere. Maybe this year will be a different year. Our server is down until Monday the 4th, 2016. So Monday at about between 9 and 10, I'll be putting the server back up. So it should be running about by noon on Monday, Lord willing, if they show up. And we're moving to a new building. We had another building that was a little bit too small and too much fix-up. So we moved right next door to the Lord gave us a giant building, which I don't even know what we're going to do with it. It's 4,500 square feet for less than half the price in Nashville. And if you ever come to a place called Hohenwald, That's HOHENWALD, Tennessee. We're at 27 Maple Street.
South Maple Street,
excuse me. And that's 38462. Can't really get lost there. But we're thinking about what we're going to do there, and there's lots of people out there we hope to meet, and there's families and children. Maybe we'll have, who knows? Maybe we'll do, I think we're going to start a Hebrew study again. I need to refresh my memory. And we're going to start Hebrew study again, Lord willing, and maybe videos and Hebrew dancing and who knows what. I mean, we've got so much room. We could have everyone move in there. And but anyway, we got that. Well, this is my first study for the year 2016. And it's amazing. Here we are again, 2016. It just seems like, gosh, it was just the year 2000. And here it is, 16 years later, here we are. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about the rapture and the millennium. I told you I was going to do a study pertaining to these two subjects. And I know the millennium is, that's all we hear about from Christians, and it's all you hear about from in Judaism. But the millennium, it's a word in Latin, and it means 1,000 years. It's not found in Scripture, of course. The word millennium is not in Scripture. And the word rapture, obviously, is not found in Scripture, okay? Some people, and most Christians, and I'm starting to find most Messianics, think they're going to be raptured and then brought back to this earth. I mean, this actual earth that we're standing on right now, and reign with Messiah 1,000 years in Jerusalem, which is like, I can't find any of that in Scripture or in any Bible that I read. Excuse me. So who do you think is going to reign on the earth in the last days, Messiah or the Antichrist in Jerusalem?
Antichrist.
Well, we know the Antichrist is going to be there, and it's definitely not going to be for 1,000 years. According to the Bible, there's going to be a peace pact for 7 years, and he's going to break the peace pact in 3.5 years. And you can go, I have a link there. When my server is back up on Monday, you can click on, and it talks about the man of sin. You know, some people, I think, I don't know, they give me the impression they don't really read the Scripture, and they don't really read any of the letters by the apostles, and they don't read the letters by any of the disciples of the Lord. But his 2 Thessalonians, you know, here's a letter that was written almost 2,000 years ago by Apostle Paul to the Thessalonians in a place called Thessalonica by Asia Minor, you know, which doesn't exist today, of course. There might be some ruins somewhere. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, and by," it says, "and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind." Don't be shaken in mind. "Or be troubled neither by spirit or by word, nor by letter as from us that the day of Messiah is at hand. Don't let anyone trouble you about this. Let no one deceive you by any means." And I see people being deceived all the time because they never mention the two witnesses. They never mention the Antichrist. They never mention the third temple. And they never mention that study I did. Remember, just about, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, I did a study on this. It says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of the Lord, is not coming until you see first a falling away first, a real apostasy of the people of God, and then you're going to see the man of sin being revealed, the son of perdition." And how would you recognize him? Well, he's going to oppose and exalt himself above all that's called God, or that is worshipped. So think about all the religions today, and people worshipping all their little fake gods. This one's going to come on and want everyone's praise. So he, as God, is going to sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. So this person's going to actually think he's God and trick many more people. Remember, there's no temple today, so he can't really do that. And there really isn't any man of sin that I know of that's going to, there's no one world ruler that I know of, and one world anything, monetary system or one world anything. It seems like the world's in a sort of a division everywhere. Apostle Paul says, "Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." And he will, the Antichrist will show up right on time, on God's time scale. The mystery of iniquity, even though the mystery of iniquity already works, only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. Mm-hmm. And the Antichrist will be taken out of the way. He's not. It's just for a time. I should say time, times, and half time. Now, here's what you're going to, this is what you should see, and this is what should you get you excited. And it says, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord's going to consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So when the Lord comes back, he doesn't sound like he's going to be in any millennial reign. No. He's coming back in the clouds. And I did that study numerous times.
Almighty God.
I said, even him who's coming is after the working of Satan. So this anti-Mashiach is going to be the devil incarnate into this person. With all power, all signs, and lying wonders. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a shame that I have to keep going over this kind of study often, but the more people I meet, the more people I know, have no knowledge of these verses. It says, but we, Apostle Paul says to the Thessalonians, but we are bound to give thanks always for you, always to God for you, brother and beloved of the Lord, because God had chosen you from the beginning. God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you unto our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. And you should definitely hold the traditions which you have been taught. And these traditions are not just man's traditions. We're talking about traditions dictated by the Torah, which have been taught neither, it says, whether by word or our letter. Nowadays, it's not just our letter, by our internet connections and our websites. Now, our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah himself and God, even our Father, which had loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, I hope he comforts your hearts and establishes you in every good word and work. And here's another few verses that most people never talk about because I have no idea. Apostle Paul knew the verses well, and he recites this again to the Thessalonians in a letter. He says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of our Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. That word prevent isn't like the English today. It means go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven. So he's not going to be in Jerusalem. He's not in the secret chambers. He's not in the desert. The Lord himself is going to descend from heaven. This is the Messiah. With a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And then the dead in Christ are going to rise first. The dead in Messiah are going to rise first. And who's ever alive at that time, it says, Then we which are alive, whoever's alive at that time, picture like this. It says they're gonna be caught up together with them in the clouds. And that's where the Messiah is coming back, in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. We're not gonna meet him in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. We're not meeting him in a millennial reign. We're not meeting him in the secret chambers or the desert or wherever you think. We're going to meet the Lord in the air, it says. Mm-hmm. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's not for 1,000 years. This is forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that simple? That's pretty simple to me. Mm-hmm. But most people don't read this. You know, if you go back to the first century, I have a little extra gas in my time machine. So let's go back to the first century and read about the millennium. It was said at that time, and I have much documents to prove this, that the millennium doctrine was started by, as they put it, an ungodly heretic by the name of Sorrentus, who lived in the first century. The millennial doctrine started by this person. It is true that the Jews generally believed that the Messiah would establish a literal or earthly kingdom. This is Judaism, and I'm going to show you that in a minute. The idea of the millennial reign proceeded from Judaism, for among the Jews, the representation was current that the Messiah would reign 1,000 years upon earth. Such products of Jewish imagination passed over into Christianity. And that always happens. And that's even where purgatory came from. Came from Judaism, from the Talmud, and then the Catholics inherited that. And they started purgatory. And many things come from Judaism. And this crazy person, Sorrentis, he said the resurrection would be followed by exquisite delights. In other words, sensual delights in his millennial reign of Christ. And some people even say that the Messiah is going to have secretaries. What do you think of that in the millennial reign? Is that ridiculous or not?
Ridiculous.
Messiah needs secretaries. I've actually heard people say that. Now, is that ridiculous or what? All I can tell you is look up the word Sorrentus, that's Sorrentus, on the net yourselves, and you'll find out what a heretic he was. He actually believed that Yeshua and Christ were two different people. And that's pretty weird. Then we have Judaism that teaches that the Messiah would establish a literal earthly kingdom and Messiah's reign would last 1,000 years. So here we have Judaism. So did the idea of millennial reign proceed from Judaism? Looks like it. Did it come from Sorrentis? Yes. Did such thoughts come from Judaism's imagination pass over into the so-called Christian and Messianic movements? It sure did. Because everywhere I go, that's all you hear about is a millennial reign. You never hear about the two witnesses. You never hear about the building of the third temple. You never hear about the Antichrist reigning in the temple as God, reigning, you know. You never hear about the one world anything. You just hear about a millennial reign. We are left at this point in 2016 with such a vast abyss of so-called witnesses, writings, and histories to view and study. You know, I prefer to use the word and the Spirit of the Lord for my understanding and discernment. Nowhere in the Gospels did Yeshua ever hint of a thousand-year messianic kingdom on this earth. I mean, don't you think the Messiah would have told us about that? The apostles in the letters never spoke of a thousand-year messianic kingdom on this earth. I mean, wouldn't you think of all those witnesses? You got the Messiah, you got all the apostles and the disciples, and no one's ever spoken about that.
That's right.
You know, let's read Peter. Brother Peter has some good advice, 2 Peter chapter 3. And I want to make sure you all understand this. There's no such thing as a renewed earth or heaven. That renewed stuff is from Judaism also. This is called new. Remember, in Hebrew, new is an adjective, renewed is a verb. I'm talking about in Hebrew grammar, okay? Peter says, the second letter, epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. So, and that's what I do on my studies. I'm trying to make you remember, which is really important, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, and it says, us the apostles and of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. I definitely have heard this before. And they say, where is the promise of his coming? Oh, I heard that the world's coming to an end. Jesus is coming back forever. Where is he? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Well, for this they willingly are ignorant of by the word of God that the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and then and then it was standing in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. This is talking about the time of Noah. So we all know that the world was drowned, and that's even in archaeology and science that can be proved. But the heavens that we have now, the heavens up there, and this earth, which are now, by that same word, and we're using the same word that we know there was a deluge that covered the whole earth, by that same word that's provable, we know the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, they're kept in store for what? They're reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Really? But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And what this is pertaining to, everybody tries to take this verse and misinterpret it and change it into whatever they want it to mean. But it goes with the next part of this sentence. It says, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. And that's that. In other words, the Lord is going to... There's plenty of time to repent, everybody. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what he means. So you can't say you didn't have time. However, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. He's not going to be in the millennial reign. He's coming as a thief in the night to the ones that are not watching. In the which, what's going to happen? The heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. There's that trumpet again that we just read in Thessalonians. Peter's saying the same exact thing. And the actual elements are going to melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. You can't renew something that's gone, because listen to what it says right here. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. In other words, if something's dissolved, it's gone. So I don't know where they get this renewed stuff from. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? And we should be looking and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. We're in the heavens, being on fire. The heavens, think about that. The heavens being on fire are going to be dissolved. And the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. Peter says it twice. Wow, think about that. I'm looking out the window right now at the heavens. Picture the heavens being on fire. Wherever you're at, look at your heavens. Look up in the sky. Imagine the heavens being on fire are going to be dissolved. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, and I according to his promise in the book of Isaiah, I don't know about you guys, and I hope you're with me on this, we're going to be looking for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And that's what I always ask God every day, to cover me in his holy blood and take away any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate me, and rebuke the devil all day long. You better rebuke the devil away from you, believe me. He's not stopping. And you better account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Yeah. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, here's Peter, a witness, saying that the Lord gave Paul wisdom. He wrote unto you these letters too. And here's where the problem then... At that time, almost 2,000 years ago, and even today, they have a problem with Paul's letters, as also in all his epistles, all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable pervert. They rest, they pervert, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. And that's what people are doing today. Some people today think Paul is a false prophet and he's not to be trusted. That's because they're unlearned and they're unstable. And they pervert the words of Paul's letters. Remember, these are just letters. People can't get that through their minds. They're epistles. They're letters. Epistle is just an English word from the Greek. But it really means letter. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest, the word lest means in fear that, you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. There's no eternal security. You can actually fall away. But God, he would prefer you grow in grace and also grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. So reading these two little pieces of letters that were written by Paul and Peter, you wonder, how do people get a millennial reign when everything's going to be burned to a crisp? This is when the Lord comes back. They think that the Lord's coming back to go sit on the earth for 1,000 years. That's ridiculous. You know, this all comes from, let me show you where it all comes from. And the people today use this one verse. It all comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 4, where Brother John, who was banished to the Isle of Patmos, picture that. He said, I saw thrones. He didn't say where, and he didn't say they were on the earth. He's having a vision. And he said, he sees people sitting on them, and judgment was given unto them. And then John says, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Beheaded means they are martyrs. They seems like they're martyrs, huh? They might be dead. If you're beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, which no one talks about anymore, and neither his image, which no one talks about anymore, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands. No one talks about that any longer. And they lived, these dead people, these martyrs, which now obviously are in a spiritual realm, they lived and reigned with Messiah 1,000 years, somewhere in a spiritual realm. Yeah. It never says it's on the earth. And these people were killed and now are alive again. That means this is a spiritual place. I mean, that this makes sense to me. And, you know, Revelation 20 sounds just like Revelation 6 to me. When the fifth seal was opened, John says, I saw under the altar. This is spiritual, everybody. He saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Now, remember, it says they were slain here. But they are still alive. Look at this. And they cried with a loud voice. You see that? They were slain, but they're awake again spiritually. They cried with a loud voice saying, how long, Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? So here we have martyrs again crying out. And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season. And a little season to God could be an eternity to us. But it's not on the earth. This is not on the earth. Until their fellow servants also and their brothers should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So these people are saying this in a different realm that we're not aware of at this moment. Mm-hmm. Yeshua said in John, the Gospel of John that was recorded by John, chapter 8, verse 23, Yeshua said unto them, you're from beneath. This is Yeshua saying this. I'm from above. You are of this world. He says, I am not of this world. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Yeshua said in chapter 18, verse 36, my kingdom is not of this world.
I put that up there.
If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Mm-hmm. See, God didn't even want to fight for this crazy planet that's worn out and sin-ridden. The book of Isaiah says, this is God's kingdom. Unto us a child is born, that child, amen, that was born of a virgin. Unto us a son is given, the word of God, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful, amen. Counselor, the son, the child, he's called the Mighty God, The Son, the Child, is called the Everlasting Father. He's also the Prince of Peace. Amen. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. It's not going to be 1,000 years. There's no end for his government. And upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, not 1,000 years. The zeal of Yehovah Tzevaot will perform this. Amen. In the book of Luke, we see that Messiah's kingdom, there shall be no end. That's verse 33. And then, of course, I read to you already in Thessalonians, so shall we be ever with the Lord. When the Lord, we're going to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. We're not going to meet him in Jerusalem. And it's not going to he's not coming back twice. He's not coming back three times. He's coming back once as God Almighty.
That's right. He came as a man once.
In the book of Matthew, there's no record of a millennial reign also. Okay?
No.
Matthew 24 and 25. I'll read a few verses out of these two books. Matthew 24, verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, which I had the opportunity, my wife, to go to the Mount of Olives. It was really nice being there. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of your coming? And he's standing right there, and they're asking him, when is he coming?
He hasn't gone yet.
And he hasn't even gone yet. But they wanted to know, what's the time of the end of the world?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no one deceive you. Many is going to come in my name, saying, I'm the Messiah, and shall deceive many. And you're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, which we do.
Mm-hmm.
See that, don't be troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. You're going to hear of wars. You're going to hear of rumors of wars. You're going to hear of tyrants. You're going to hear of natural disasters. You're going to hear of all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nation is going to rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in all over the place, in diverse places. So I want to make sure you understand, these are the beginnings of sorrows. The beginning of sorrows. This is not the end of the world. There's always earthquakes. There's always pestilence, famines, disease.
Always.
There's a lot of crazy things in this world.
Mm-hmm.
Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and you shall be killed, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. That's what you got to watch out for. People that are so-called brothers and sisters are going to betray you. And then there'll be many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of sin, iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
That's of the Christian,
yeah.
Real believers.
The real believers. Their zeal and zest is going to fizz out. Make sure that doesn't happen to you. But he that shall endure unto the end, if you endure unto the end, and that's the end of the world or the end of your life, the same shall be saved. Amen. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. And I thank God for the internet that we can be a partaker of getting the gospel out through the world. And may God open doors for us to do it even mightier. In Yeshua's name. I mean, that's what my dream. That's all I really want to do. That's all I'd love to do all day long, believe me. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, Yeshua is telling us. When you see the anti-Mashiach stand in the holy place, you better make sure you stay in the spirit and you better stay with the people of God. And whosoever reads, let him understand this. And if you happen to be in Israel when this is taking place, when they build the third temple and the anti-Mashiach is there, if you're in Judea, you better flee to the mountains and let them that are on the housetops not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let them that are in the field return back to take his clothes. You better get out of there. You know why? Well, before I tell you why, it says, woe unto them that are with child, and to those that give them suck in those days. And you better pray that your flight's not in the winter, because you know it's very hard to travel when it's very cold. Neither on the Sabbath day, there's still a Sabbath in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. It says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. So this hasn't happened yet. No, nor ever shall be. This is going to be the amazing tribulations that are going to happen. This has not happened yet. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened.
There's still a remnant.
Then if anyone should say unto you, he's the Messiah, you better not believe it. Because there's so many false messiahs and false prophets. And the thing that's going to be frightening is they're going to show great signs and wonders in so much that if it were possible, they're going to deceive you, the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, and I tell you also. Wherefore, if they shall say to you, he's in the desert, don't go there. He's in the secret chambers, believe it not. He's in the millennium, don't believe it. You know why? Because here's how he's coming. For as the lightning comes out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. And wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Tell me that.
And that's the dead body where the eagles, the anti-Messiah, will be feasting on them.
That's right.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun is going to be darkened and the moon shall not give her light and the stars shall fall from heaven and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And this is when everything's going to burn to a crisp, according to Peter. And then shall they appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Amen. And then shall all the tribes, all the people of the earth are going to mourn, the ones that rejected him. And they're going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Whew. Praise the Lord. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. There's that. You better do the practice and rehearse the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So as I could tell you, it's like the same thing Yeshua says. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. Your Lord comes. Wherefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour when you think not, the Son of Man comes. So this is what I'm waiting for. I'm not waiting for to go sit in Jerusalem. I'm waiting for the Lord to come, and I want to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds. Matthew 25 says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, so he's going to come in his glory, like I just told you, and all the holy angels with him, then he's going to sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on his left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come you, blessed of my Father, inherit the real kingdom. Hallelujah, prepared for you from the foundations of the world. And then he's going to say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, everlasting fire, everlasting fire, prepared for the devil, which some people don't believe in the devil anymore, and his angels. And these shall go away into everlasting, everlasting punishment. But we're going to go into, the righteous are going to go into life eternal.
Life eternal.
I don't want to be in a millennial reign. I want to go into life eternal forever. Don't you? So you got to watch out for the doctrine of Chileism, and that's the that's that thousand-year nonsense. As you can see below, I have posted three different opinions, even from the Talmud. I have the Talmud, and these are from the Sederim. That means orders. Okay. where Judaism are the ones that really push this doctrine, besides Sorrentius in the first century. And there's many tractates in the Book of the Talmud. Everybody should know that by now. And I could read this to you. It might get a little boring. But here's what Rabbi Katina said. He said, 6,000 years shall the world exist, and 1,000, the seventh, it shall be desolate, as it is written, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. That's ridiculous. There's going to be 1,000 years, all the Lord's going to be all by himself. That's ridiculous. And this other person, Abaya, said, it will be desolate for 2,000, as it is said, after 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up and shall live in his sight. These are all misinterpreted verses. And then it was taught, it has been taught in accordance with that Rabbi Katina, which we don't believe any of this. I want to make sure you guys all know that. Just as the seventh year is one, is one of the years released in seven, and I can't, these boxes keep popping up.
I had the box.
Yeah. Now, let's see, I lost track here because, okay, just as the seventh year is one year of release in seven, so is the world. 1,000 years out of seven shall be foul. As it is written, the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day, which sounds ridiculous. And he tries to quote a psalm, which is totally ridiculous. They quote everything out of context and misinterpreted. And then there's the Tana, Debi Eliyahu teaches, the world is to exist 6,000 years. In the first 2,000 was desolation, 2,000 years and the Torah flourished. And the next 2,000 years is the Messianic era, which is totally ridiculous. He's got another, he thinks the Messianic era is for 2,000 years.
No.
Anyway, then we have Abraham's 52nd year until 172 years after the destruction of the second temple. This does not mean that the Torah should cease thereafter, but is mentioned merely to distinguish it from the next era. That's totally ridiculous. And then the Talmud, the Sanhedrin, 97b, it says, but though our many iniquities, all these years have been lost, I guess they think the Messianic era is going to save them. And it was taught by Rabbi Judah that in the name of Akiba, on the first day of the week, what did the Levites say? And you can read all this stuff. It gets a little confusing. And you can read the rest of this yourself. It says, the one commencing, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, because he took possession and gave possession and was sole ruler of his universe. On the second day, what did they say? The first commencing, great is the Lord and highly to be praised, because he divided his works and reigned over them like a king. On the third day, they said, God stands in the congregation of God, because he revealed the earth in his wisdom and established the world for his community. On the fourth day, they said, thou God, to whom vengeance belongs, because he created the sun and moon and will one day punish those who serve them. On the fifth day, they said, sing aloud to God, our strength, because he created fishes and birds to praise his name. On the sixth day, they said, the Lord reigns, he is clothed with majesty, because he completed his work and reigned over his creatures. On the seventh day, they said, a song for the Sabbath day, to wit, the day which will be all Sabbath, when God shall be alone between the end of the world and the resurrection of the dead, Rashi. Which is totally...
So you put 1,000 years in there.
1,000 years right there. Mm-hmm. So they all made this up. Mm-hmm. I'm just reading this to show you where this all comes from. Okay. And you can read the rest of that, because this other guy, Rabbi Nehemiah, changed everything with the first day, the second day, and the third day, and all the rest of that. And you can read all that. The point at this issue between them is whether to accept or not the dictum of Rabbi Katina. And you can read all this together. They start arguing, all the rabbis, because there's over 300 arguments in the Talmud where they don't even agree with each other. And what I say is they're all wrong, because they can't be that wise. They rejected the Hebrew Messiah. Mm-hmm. But you can read all the rest of this Talmud mumbo jumbo yourself. They try to quote Hosea and Psalms, and they misinterpret everything. As you can see, there's too many opinions in the Talmud. Paul, whose name is real name is Saul, he says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace and of a sound mind." My advice is, let us use the Word of God to research all matters. Now, I wanted to go over one thing with you before I close today. You know, in the end of 2015 and the beginning of 2016, I've been coming across people that are telling me recently that they're on the fence with Saul. In other words, they don't know if they should trust him. And I keep trying to tell them, but on the road to Damascus, Yeshua said he was a chosen vessel. And then later on, Peter said he was a beloved brother, another witness. And then later on, Ananias said he was a beloved brother. So we got two witnesses besides Saul himself. I gave a study on this, a couple weeks ago. I wanted to go over one so-called discrepancy of Saul, and I'm going to explain it to you. And you really need to understand this, because I know you'll hear about this sometime in your life. Make sure you understand Acts is just a short history of the apostles that use the scriptures, the Tanakh. The letters are not scripture themselves. It's just people that use scripture, and I'm happy that they found them. Acts is a history book of the Acts of the Apostles. And the going thought is Luke wrote it. We can't prove that. But whoever wrote it, okay?
Or multiple.
Maybe multiple people wrote it. Who knows? I don't know. Luke, whoever wrote it, let's just say Luke for this conversation, may have gotten his information mixed up. Not on purpose, with bad intent to deceive you. I mean, sometimes when you say something, you might say something accidentally wrong too, right? I'm sure you have done that in your life. Haven't you? I have. And I want to make sure you understand that the first chapter that I want to discuss is chapter 9 of Acts, where you, if you know anything about grammar, you could see whoever is the author of the book of Acts, the history book. This was written in the third person because it always says he, okay? And you could read that, Acts 9, okay? Where you can see all the he's there. It says he might bring, as he journeyed, he fell to the earth. So somebody's actually telling a story, okay? And it says he said, and then it says he was trembling. And then the verse here that everyone keeps using to say Paul was wrong, whoever wrote this, it says, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. They stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then it says, and then they say, Saul arose from the earth, and he saw no man. Okay? And then you can read the rest of that. My point is, that wasn't written by Paul. That was written by somebody else. Now, here's what was written by Paul, because you could see it was written in the first person, because it says, I. Okay?
And that's Acts what?
And this is Acts 22.
And what's the other one?
The other one was Acts 9, the one that wasn't written by Paul, but Acts 22 and 26, I'm going to read to you. This is Acts 22, verse 6. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. It says, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, Who are you, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Yeshua of Nazareth, whom you persecute. And they that were with me indeed saw the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Okay? So that sounds the opposite of what the other person said. The other person might have just made a mistake. Now, this one doesn't say they fell to the earth, but I assume they all, by looking at this, they were afraid. Looks like they all fell to the earth. Okay? Now you go to Acts 26, Paul's talking to King Agrippa. He says he went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. And at midday, O king, I discerned away the light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. So here's Paul with more adjectives and explaining to the king that this was an amazing event that took place, which he didn't say in the last chapter. So it's the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them that were journeyed with me. So everyone saw the light. It says, when we were fallen to the earth, more information, I heard a voice speaking unto me. So he never said the other guys heard the voice there. Mm-hmm. And then this voice was speaking in the Hebrew tongue, saying, why are you persecuting me? And you can read the rest of that. So what I'm trying to say is Apostle Paul in chapter 22 and chapter 26, there's no conflicts. The only conflict is in chapter 9, where somebody else was just recording this. And it could be an innocent mistake, okay?
Because it's not scripture.
Just like one of the Gospels, there's an innocent mistake where someone was quoting Jeremy, the prophet, that something about, you know, the potter's field. And but it wasn't in that. It was in Zechariah. So it's an innocent error. It's not like these guys are doing this to trick you or deceive you. Remember, the Gospels are just histories of the Messiah. Someone wrote them. A man wrote them. You know, we have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're men. They could easily make a mistake, just like I'm sure on my websites, I must have made a mistake somewhere.
They didn't know people were going to see this
and
description.
They didn't know 2,000 years later you're going to read it and think that they were false prophets or something.
Right.
They tried their best, and my hat is off to them, or however you want to say it. Right. I applaud them, and I praise mm-hmm. God for them that they, you know, we have this histories of them. So don't think Paul is anything wrong. My advice again is let the Word of God use the Word of God to do all your research in all matters with godly discernment and understanding. But I'm coming across these arguments recently, so I'm cautioning you. That's coming against people of God, coming against God, people who God has chosen, and it might be breaking one of the Ten Commandments too, because you're bearing false witness, which is breaking, I believe, the Ninth Commandment. So be careful. Anyway, I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom to you today. I hope you got information. Hope you got some information today that you didn't know. And I hope that you read this study again and listen to it later when my website goes back up on Monday. Heavenly Father, I thank and praise you for another Sabbath day. And I thank you for the study. We verify everything with your word. And let people use your word, not websites, not people's opinions, not commentaries, but your actual word for proof and evidence. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. I thank God for protection. I thank God for a wall of fire around and about every one of us in Yeshua's name. And may God bless you today and for the rest of the Sabbath and for the rest of your lives. May God heal you and strengthen you and be with you. And may God help us all. And I thank God for everything in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless you and Shabbat Shalom.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm going to stop the video. Shabbat Shalom. And I'm going to stop.